This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Record with Chivago Lines, brought to you by AML Foods Limited, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. Very warm Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4259, 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, that's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, that's 439-3043. We are, of course, live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So a couple of things I want to take up today. There might be more, but a couple of things at least. Travis Cartwright-Carroll in the Nassau Guardian wrote an article on New Providence hit with load shedding. And in that article, he mentions that Bahamas Power and Light spoke about its load shedding requirements on its Facebook page, which it in fact did. And in the article, it was mentioning that the load shedding was taking place because one of the 25 megawatt units of BPL's power station was taken offline for emergency repair. And that this is contributing to their inability to meet the load demand for power. And in the course of the article, Mr. Carroll talked about the seven engines that the CEO, Mr. Cambridge, said could not all be used at one time. And I was confused. Honestly, I was confused. I was confused. I can tell you all why I was confused. Maybe you're not confused and you could help me, but let me tell you why I was confused. So I went on BPL's Facebook page and it says that Station A at BPL's Clifton Pier Station was completed and began pumping power to the grid in December 2019. So I wanted to make sure that the unit that went related to Station A. And in point of fact, BPL's note on its Facebook page said that it says, good afternoon, customers. We are informing you that we have commenced load shedding in New Providence this evening. This is August 9th, 2023. One of our primary units was shut off for emergency repairs, resulting in a generation shortfall. Says our teams are presently working to bring the 25 megawatt unit back to service. Until then, customers may experience some periods of supply interruption. So I was looking for whether on more information to say, where is this unit? Is this one of the seven units of the Wärtsilä Station A? But I didn't see anything to confirm that. In any event, what I ask myself is this. Remember now, Mr. Cambridge said he has seven Wärtsilä engines, all cannot be ran at the same time, right? Because of the building and sprawling in the building. One of your units go offline, right? One of your units go offline, but you have seven units, right? Now, each of these seven units, 25 megawatt? No. Because on their website, they said each engine is rated at 18.85 megawatts. Okay? That's just like 6 megawatts shy of the 25. So this has to be a unit separate than the Wärtsilä units. But again, I'm extrapolating. This is not the information that was given to us by BPL. They only say one of the units went offline. But you have seven units that went offline. Did you bring, but you can't run six units? Or can you? We're told you can't run seven, but can you run six? We're not told. Don't know. But it would seem to me that you have a primary unit go down, it's 25 megawatt. You got these seven units available that you run in a place. You can't run all seven. Can you run six? If it was one of those units that went down, we don't know that because you didn't say. I'm only extrapolating that because on your website, it says that these Wärtsilä engines are rated 18.25 went down. So I'm assuming it's not that one. But if it was one of those and they went offline, well, you just put another one in rotation because you have seven that you can't run all at the same time. So one goes down, you put another one in. Right? And what does it mean exactly to be that you have to, it says here, it had to, you said you were going to unit, you have a unit that went down, was shut off for emergency repairs resulting in generation. For emergency repairs, okay? So, it's just again a matter of muffle some communication. I mean, at the end of the day, maybe nobody cares because at the end of the day, all you care about is that its power is being interrupted. Except I think that conscientious people prefer enough information that makes sense to them so that they could say, okay, well, hey, that's unavoidable. That's the problem. Now, let me tell you what I understand about these engines. Well, I don't know. Again, I don't know. This may not be one of Wärtsilä's engines. So I mean, let me leave that alone. Let me leave that alone for the moment. So I'm trying to work through all of this, right? I'm trying to work through all of this. And then I go and read, or did y'all not know? I read in the Guardian, is it? One of the dailies, that the government, did an audit, a forensic audit of BPL's Station A. What is Station A? Station A is the Wärtsilä new thing that came on stream about 3 years ago. And the government did a forensic audit of the station. I could have missed it. Maybe someone else heard about it, but that was the first for me hearing about the forensic audit being done. And from the story about the forensic audit, it wasn't abundantly clear what is meant. Now, if you say forensic audit to me, I'm thinking financial audit, right? I'm thinking an accounting audit. That's what I'm thinking. But you could do a forensic audit of another nature, like you want to know all the circumstances surrounding the evolution of a particular thing. And so that could be both its financials and its procedures and systems and the like. You could be doing an audit of that nature. The article wasn't very clear. It says simply that the Minister of Works and Utilities, Alfred, says, this is dated August 9th. August 9th says that, revealed yesterday that a forensic investigation, it's not even an audit, it is a forensic investigation into the construction of Station A at Bahamas Power and Light. Okay, so we have a forensic investigation of the construction of it has been done, and that the findings will be revealed shortly. That is, like, to me, that's curious. For weeks now, we have had this back and forth between folk about what is happening with this Wärtsilä station. Back and forth. We heard from the former prime minister accused the present prime minister's administration of something. The present prime minister accused the former prime minister's administration of something down there. The prime minister said that the engines never worked or never worked properly. That was refuted by claims made by the CEO, present CEO, regarding the thing. And then the prime minister said, well, the billing was an issue. And then the CEO came back and said that there's an issue of Spectre 7, use of 7 inches. Back and forth, back for weeks. I ask you, how long does it take to do a forensic investigation of a construction of something? It takes a while. That you don't do that in a day or 2 days, right? It takes a while. The Minister of Public Works didn't say that we are conducting a forensic investigation of the construction of Station A. That's not what he said. He said, according to this article, in quote, there has been a forensic investigation, and in due course, the investigation will be released. Come on, people. Come on, man. All this time, you are the whole prime minister and minister of finance going to Parliament of the Bahamas, sharing information about BPL. Some information that have been contradicted by statements made by the present CEO of BPL.
Why would you put a prime minister in a circumstance like that when you have had a forensic investigation that could have findings that could make him abundantly enlightened about the circumstance? Who conducted the investigation? Was this an internal investigation? Was it conducted by an external entity or agency? What are the qualifications of the people doing the investigation? Is this a political grouping that did it? I mean, by political grouping, I mean the policymakers, et cetera, which can be done. The cabinet can have a subcommittee do that. That's possible. Who did it? Yeah. But even if we had been told, well, you know, we are conducting an investigation of the construction of the thing, and so in due course, we'll be able to say more fulsomely what happened. You could wait. You could wait for that information. That's important. That's helpful. That's useful. First, we hear it. Now, again, first I'm hearing about it. You know, I don't know everything at all. Even though people say they think I know everything. No, I know a lot of things about some things, but I don't know everything at all, not even close. You know, maybe you heard, you know, say forensic investigation, another distraction. I mean, since today, all of the leaders are starting to tick me off because they are all getting paid well to think and come up with solutions. What do I mean? Hundreds of homes and businesses are coming online for power. So the power you generated 3 or 5 years ago can't be enough for today and next year. As the demand increases, so does the generation. Every 3 to 5 years, we should be adding another generator to the fleet. This is not rocket science. We need to get it together. That's a great point. That's a super point. Say we have 7 in 23, then there should be 8 in 24 by 2028 or so. We should have. I can't argue with you. I don't know the electricity business, so I don't know, but that seems fair. Say, does the construction of Station 8 figure prominently in the increased cost of electricity? No, not according to the information we have. No. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to C-Live. I'm Shabab, and I'm your host. We'll be back after this break.
Marsh the car. The lady run into me, marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the insurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity.
It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it.
My sales increase, and I can track my earnings.
Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today.
Call 356-7764. Fidelity, we're good for
you. Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means you got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? Bitch, I mean cool, Sino.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody got to know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you got to do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
The Guardian Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever back-to-school snackathon. We want your help by assisting in donating school snacks to children in need as they head back to school this year. To join our snackathon, simply shop at Solomon's and Fresh Markets. You can donate your pre-existing loyalty point or you can donate cash at the register. Every penny snacks that will be donated for distribution to the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Let's ensure that every child that opens their backpack to start this school year has a snack and a smile.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, hi, Shabago. Everything that was said since the Prime Minister spoke about the engines never working is an attempt to help Prime Minister save face. He made a statement that was not accurate, and rather than come back and say that or explain, everyone is now scrambling to conflate the issue so the Prime Minister does not appear as though he was not informed. Wow. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
A pleasant good afternoon, Shabago. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm right here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I was listening to your conversations over the last several days and decided to call in today.
Okay.
Based on you discussing, can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, man, clearly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great. Based on you discussing BPL, Wärtsilä engines, Prime Minister's statements, and now you are discussing the Minister of Works statement, who has responsibility for BPL. I want to take you back to 2 points I want to address, Shabago. Let me take you back to a point that Minister Sayers made back on 2022, as a matter of fact, in Parliament. And just for clarity, the statement can be found on Eyewitness News, October 6, 2022. And it was posted at 3:59 a.m. And it's related to Minister Sayers. He said, works, Minister says that $100 million tri-fuel Wärtsilä engines could only use expensive diesel, right? Right before your break, you had a caller who asked you the question, does the construction of Station 8 figure prominently into the cost of electricity today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe that Minister Sayers' statement 1 year ago agrees with what the question that the caller made, and also goes against what information was being put to what the Prime Minister was stating, because the Works Minister stated that the Governor of the Bahamas had to make monthly subventions of an additional $10 million on BPL's fuel bill to cover the arrears until June of 2023, because the engines that the Bahamas government purchased for around $100 million, which was supposed to specifically save on electricity bills, were incapable of performing the specific duty by which they were bought to perform. Hence, the government having to put an additional $10 million monthly to cover the subvention, to cover the arrears until June of this year.
Okay, Anton, just 1 minute. Well, just no, don't go on. Just 1 minute, because you're saying the lady asked a question and you're trying to connect the answer to the what the prime minister says. Can I read for you again, as I read for the audience before, the prime minister's statement on the cost of electricity going up for the next 12 to 18 months? Can I do that? He said,
Of course.
No, he said next Tuesday, a week from today, he said today BPL is announcing an increase. This is on the government's website. This is a release from the prime minister's office. Says, today I am announcing that BPL will have an increase in monthly fuel charge. He says, for a large majority of BPL customers who consume less than 800 kilowatts per hour, the fuel charge is increasing by 2 cents per kilowatt hour, which will result in an increase this quarter of less than $20 per month. If your current blah, 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 he says, for those who consume, and he gave a schedule for this increase that is going to go into the next 12 to 18 months. Okay, right. He gives, and all the details, no, look, this is very important. The reason it's important is the cost of that people are incurring now, the increase that people are incurring now, has nothing to do with payment of arrears. It's fuel surcharge increased cost.
Okay, can I finish my based on what you
said? No, Antoine, yeah, you know how I do the show. We have to put out, I try to educate people here. I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to educate people. And we've already prosecuted the issue of the cost of electricity. You can't offer us any new information about that because we have the information from our prime minister.
Okay, can I finish, make my point, please?
Okay, well, don't so long as you acknowledge that lady is not incorrect to ask about the cost, and the cost is not related to arrears. It's not.
Based upon the Minister Alfred Sayre's statement, Chivago, and then I'll move to my second point related to generation and supply. Based upon Minister Sayre's statement, Chivago, he expressed that the fuel cost for the more expensive diesel that the tri-fuel engines must run on because they cannot run on the less expensive fuel, the cost had increased by 100%.
But that would differ from him because the engines have been running on the light fuel.
No. But Chivago, I would ask you to please inquire about that. That statement specifically that you just made.
Let me tell you why I say that. First of all, that's what I've been told, and I've been told that that is not the best fuel for those engines. It does create servicing issues. And a part of why that is the case is connected to the failure to execute on the hedge program.
And adding that new point into our discussion, Chivago, I remember very clearly the CEO, Mr. Cambridge, speaking to the fact that the hedge program that was entered into by the Minister administration was not serving its purpose because of the type of fuel mix that was required, because the BPL engines that was purchased from Wärtsilä was unable to perform based on the purpose by which they were purchased, which was to be able to provide them with expensive fuel, Chivago. They ended up having to buy more of the expensive fuel in order to run those engines at BPL. Therefore, the hedge, based upon, and this isn't my information, this is based on CEO information.
The problem we are having is this, Anton, is you can, you and I are going to agree that you are giving me information from the CEO, the information from Mr. Sayers, and I'm giving you information from the Prime Minister, and I am saying that's the whole point of these shows, is we are confused.
Okay. Well, can I move on to the second point?
That's the whole point, you know. I'm saying people are confused.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Can I move to the second point?
Sure.
Recently in the news, I think it was last week, if my memory serves me correct, and I know it serves me correct, Both the CEO of Works would have spoken to this point, but in particular, the CEO, Mr. Cambridge, he spoke to the point that at this current point, BPL does not have sufficient supply to be able to service the amount of energy distribution that is going to be required in the peak months of this year. We have not realized the peak months at this point. Chibago, and I'm making this point. Let me just make the connection so people can understand why I'm speaking to this. Because you started off speaking to BPL making a statement yesterday that they will be trying to reserve energy because they don't have enough supply in order to meet the demand, right?
Right.
Okay, and so I'm saying to you, Chibago, even with that one engine, being offline, right? Even if that wasn't offline, is what I should say. Even with the 7 new engines that was purchased by the Minister administration from Wärtsilä, we still would not have enough combined energy in order to meet the demand of energy in the country. Which will go up to around 300. It's around 250 to 270 normally, he explained, but it will go up to, and I think it was the capacity that we had, but it will go up to around 300 sometime between August and September of this year, and we will have to rent generation in order to meet that supply.
Yeah, but Anton, why does Anton, think about this, Anton.
Okay.
Even if I accept what you say, why does Anton have to give me, I'm not saying you did, but why does Anton have to give me more clarity and details than I can get from the people who send an information out?
That's a great point. Can I interject right there, Chibago? Look, you just hit the nail right on the head, Chibago.
I'm just saying.
I understand. Okay. You were just drawing an illustration. And I'm going to speak on that very point that you're trying. This is the problem that I have internally with my government that I support. We need to have the players up front who have the capability, who have the information, who have the know-how, and who can communicate effectively to clearly navigate the seas of the press and the people to provide the necessary information to us all so that we can clear away all the mix-up and the ambiguity in the public domain.
Anton, well said. You know what, though? What is true? That even if what is said does not satisfy people, they may not agree with the explanation. The fact is, if it sounds more fulsome, it will present as more fulsome.
I agree.
And that makes a difference.
I agree. Totally. Right? And I land on this note, Chibago. I want to encourage the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Philip Davis. I want to encourage the Minister of Works with responsibilities for utilities, the Honorable Alfred Says, to please put out front the necessary personnel to provide a comprehensive reporting to the Bahamian people on an ongoing basis so that we can avoid these unnecessary pitfalls that we find ourselves defending against when we should be working on creating headlines instead of fighting the headlines. Thank you for the opportunity.
Anton, don't go. I have a question for you. I have two questions for you. First of all, was there load shedding like this last year? Was there load shedding like this year, last year in the summer?
Not that I could recall, Chibago.
No. Nor was there in the year before that?
Not that I could recall.
Okay, all right. So something must have happened significantly in the power demand generation in the country between them years.
I agree. And my own perspective right there, Chibago, I believe that it could be a factor or a consideration or a combination of two factors. Constraining finances in order to purchase the necessary fuel to keep us ahead of the game, constraining finances, as well as the cost of the expensive fuel that is required in order to effectively and efficiently, or most effectively and most efficiently, run those supposed to be tri-fuel engines that we purchased that are not operating as tri-fuel.
But Anton, that could only play if you are not running the engines. So, because then you'll save the fuel cost because you won't buy it. But if you're running the engines, you're generating the power.
And then demand. And then demand is the final factor, Shivago. There's a higher demand for consumption of electricity this year than that of last year and the year prior to last year. And we are unable to meet the demand, as the executive and the minister explained last week in the public domain. We are far greater than what we have the capability to supply, which will again lead to us renting more energy.
I got you. I'm running out of time, but here's the second question. What happened to those weekly press briefings that Mr. Watson used to do? like Mr. Watson went to ZNS. He's been not replaced. There's no longer a press secretary for the Prime Minister's office.
Look, yeah, Trivago, that's the one reason why I did not want to say what I said, because I figured you would have come on the back loop.
No, I'm serious. I'm asking. I you prompted the query because I didn't think about it, but I'm asking.
I know, in all honesty, Shivago, I don't want to make a presumption there, but I believe that the deputy to the press secretary has that responsibility in terms of carrying the information forward. Now, I haven't been following since Clint moved to ZNS what's going on. But if it's not happening, I would encourage them to get back on track with that level of transparency, because that is the only thing that we have to fight against misinformation, whether it's deliberate or through ignorance being provided in the public domain. Thank you for that.
Or it's because you misquote, misaccurately inform, etc. So you got to put everything in the pot now.
Well, it could be that, but then again, Chibago...
That could be, Antoine, there has been instances of that. Not could be. I've done this over and repeatedly on the show. There have been instances of that.
Okay.
And that's part of the public relations problem that politicians have, not just this administration, politicians have, is being able to concede, you know what, I misspoke.
I understand exactly where you're coming from.
That was not the best information I gave.
Right. I understand, and I cannot challenge what you just said, Shivago, in any way, shape, or form. However, I choose to fall on the side that we are dealing with, as you were once in the parliament, honorable men who serve the Bahamian people. And from time to time, they may err in speech. But
of course,
as you stated just now, it is nothing wrong with coming behind and stating that way as well.
I got you.
So,
listen, man, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lanyi, your host. We're going to pay our respects to our sponsors. When I come back, I'll read some of your texts. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand, we'll walk this road together, through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone, holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch today's uniform centers, buy four, get one free sale. Free monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back-to-school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back-to-school special. Restrictions apply. Tell
them. Being an investor has its benefits. The margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
Okay, school bag. Books, pencils, uniform, oh Lord. and I get to buy snacks too?
Just lay it on the line.
The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever Back to School Snackathon. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points, or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be distributed by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabab Olang, your host. So glad you could join us. You know, Anton tried to make an argument for the government in relation to some things the minister said. And he said that they had to give provides because of the additional fuel costs. Well, Anton should realize that he is arguing against his own point, because the reason governments give subsidies to these entities is so that those entities wouldn't pass on their additional cost to their consumers. So if the government is giving subsidy, how does that now become my cost? In point of fact, it was when the government stopped subsidizing in February that it then decided to allow BPL to charge its customers the fuel surcharge. And in point of fact, BPL has a lawful obligation to pass that cost on. The government cannot, by law, BPL from passing on that cost. And it was done that way for the same reason. It's a fuel surcharge. It's not in your control. It has to do with the global environment and the cost of your fuel. So if the government is subsidizing BPL with whose money? Taxpayer monies. How can that subsidy turn around and be a cost to me on my fuel, I mean, on my power? It's contradictory. All right? We know why the power bill is high. Right? The power bill is high because the fuel surcharge keeps increasing. And how is it that you can have a scheduled increase in the fuel surcharge over the next 12 to 18 months, a scheduled increase in the fuel surcharge over the next 12 to 18 months, if you don't know what the cost of fuel is going to be in the next 12 to 18 months? How can you schedule the increases in the rate? Because it's only related to the cost of your fuel that you say cost, because the Godzilla engines was put in to burn. Them Wasilla engines are multifaceted engines. They can do LNG, they can do heavy fuel, and they can do light fuel, even if they do light fuel on the less efficiently. They are flexible machines. Flexible machines. Now, let me read Anton. Let me tell you, some people leaving some money on the table for you, bro, for me, bro. Say this text to Mr. Lang: if you do not let Anton call your show for the rest of the year, I will personally give you $500 or a case of Bud Light. When you could say the Bud Light. When I hear him, I turn off. He's annoying. I find some of Anton's contributions quite interesting, quite frankly. But I'm sorry, I can't take your $500. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Anton likes to take over and run on too long. Other persons want to call in as well. If you want to call in, just call in. You trust me, I am nobody on the line right now. It says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Anton likes it. Oh, yeah, you said that before. I saw it. I read that. We have a call on the line now. Go ahead, caller. We're listening.
Mr. Lang, I was holding on. Is it possible I could call you after the break? This is a couple of points
Please.
Okay?
No problem.
Thank you, man.
No problem. So, Mr. Lang, all this back and forth and talking and riddles is confusing. Can you call Godzilla and have an interview with the technicians who install and service the engines to get their side of the story? Boy, I'd love to do so. I suspect Godzilla will not want to do that, though, because they still have a relationship, however challenging it might be with DPL and the government. So can you please ask Anton how much he is paid to have no shame and come on the radio saying for this? This text says, did Anton say info based on what the CEO said? The CEO who appears to have lost free thinking people. This text is unbelievable. He defends everything that the PLP does. This text says, Zeli, my question is, what have this administration done to complement what was left in place at BPL? This text says, could we get the people who are now responsible for our landfill that has been without incident in the years to run BPL? That's interesting. You know what, though? I want to ask you a question, and when we come back from the break, we'll talk about it. You see how the minister said that there's a forensic investigation of the power station taking place? Could you imagine if you went on BPL's website and BPL announced, BPL has done an audit of its power, present the power demand and future power demand over the next 3 to 5 years, and has determined that in light of that, it will require X additional wattage of generation of power. And I wish to announce that we have arranged for the construction or leasing of X number of generators to meet such said demand, and so that at least going forward for the next 3 to 5 years, this load shedding will be eliminated. Can you imagine saying that? As opposed to, I'm looking backward now at the power station to figure out what went into the construction. How did that happen? First of all, I ask again, if you're Public Works, you had nothing to do. I'm talking about the technical team at Public Works. Nothing to do with the construction of that power station, because I suspect that Public Works could have a lot to say about that. And if it exposes some deficiency by the former administration, so be it. So be it. So be it. But looking backward as opposed to addressing, giving details as to how people can see relief. And I know BPL has said they are going to do all that. Now, talk about, Antoine says that the power demand increased. How do you know? Did BPL tell you that? How much did it increase by? What was it last year? What is it this year? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shavar Balang, your host. We're going to take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shavar Balang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Chicago, you know that when Anton calls, he has a script. He cannot deviate from what is scripted, and he cannot concede a point. Well, all I can say is that it is better for public figures, for leaders, to assume
that they are speaking to an enlightened, intelligent, critical thinking audience, even if they're not, than to think otherwise. Because to think that people are not enlightened, not thinking, not intelligent, will lead you to say things that might be inaccurate, might be incomprehensible, might be contradictory, might be misleading, and so forth. You know, I don't want you all to misunderstand something. I have never come on the show and said the prime minister was wrong, incorrect, or the minister was incorrect, or the CEO is incorrect. I have challenged the consistency, rationality of some of what is said to say, well, how does this explain that? How does this explain that? You see? And the problem is, you know, Mr. Sayers doesn't work for a different government than the prime minister, you know. And the CEO doesn't work for a different government than the prime minister, Mr. Sayers. They all work in the same government. BBL is an entity in the government of the Bahamas to execute government policy. And so it would seem to me that to avoid the confusion about what is said, you can get harmony with those stories. And you got to get that harmony before the fact, not after the fact. Because somebody's right, it seems as if there is cleaning up being attempted after the fact. But if you're doing an investigation, you know, it would be been easy to simply just wait for the investigation and then say what the investigation reveals. But I know how politics works when you get goosey. You know, sometimes you jump at that bit, chop at that bit. We have a call on the line. Go ahead. I think we have Kissy Allen back.
Yes, you do.
Hey, what's up?
You know, I like the way, you know, I just say great minds think alike when you ask those questions of on which the government has failed to answer. Like, for instance, the fact that the government claimed to have been subsidized in BPL, which I will always assume going all the way back to the late early part of this year and late last year was that would somewhat be illegal. That's the question I asked. Is that if they're not passing on the fuel charge, then is that not breaking the law, regardless of how much money government give them, the fuel charge still must be passed on.
Yep.
It seems that way. Right. And so then you come, for instance, about the demand that Anton wants to make, which also addresses one of the questions that one of your people said about getting additional engines. In the 21st century, over the last 18 months or so, The concept of energy consumption in the 21st century somewhat changed. And in fact, the demand for computational resources, such as cryptocurrency, the new processing, now AI, has increased the demand for energy. So, literally speaking, the tendency for the 21st century has increased from the 80% into the 90s. So there will be there's a continuous demand. But the demand goes in relations to the consumption practices, meaning that you don't keep increasing your capacity proportionately. What you do is you reduce your consumption, which we have a tremendous leeway in the Bahamas concerning energy equipment, new air conditioning concepts, you know, the light bulbs, homes being insulated, changing water heaters, changing air conditioning, changing appliances. There's so much room in the Bahamas to probably reduce as much as 40 or about 50% of our current consumption, as opposed to keep buying greater capacity of an antiquated system that we're trying to move about as we claim to be celebrating.
But see, Alan, wouldn't that depend on the culture you're in? Because let's be real, right? I want you to imagine company individuals in the Bahamas
doing all of that to decrease their demand. How robust do you think is our behavior in this country when it comes to energy use?
Not where it needs to be, but this is where. But this is where. In just the beginning, let me first give advice to the government. Mm. When in a hole you're trying to get out, stop digging. And the government, since last year, with their list of misinformation, 8 times in 11 minutes, they've been trying to dig out of this hole since then. And you've had pressure coming left and right, and then you have external forces such as energy consumption, the heat waves and everything keep changing the dynamics for them. Mr. Lang, one thing that never changes is the truth. And so when you become to have variations of reality, then it cannot be the truth. And so what is happening is that government is playing a game of politics rather than a game of honesty. And they're gaslighting us. And so what is happening, being goosey, and you have one person responding over here where the evidence after the response would not support the position they take, and then you have somebody else come out and said, let me tell you what he was thinking. Not what he said, let me tell you what he was thinking. And so I say to people, be responsible for what you say, not what you was thinking. And so the problem we have, though, is that this government, as well as BPL over the years, have never came with a comprehensive strategy with from an analysis they wanted to do an audit or forensic or otherwise. They should do one of the pure infrastructural and current needs and anticipated needs of the population, specifically on New Providence, and the strategies that will be needed to execute it, which includes new infrastructure, etc. And a lot of people, I've had this conversation with others, and they say, who's going to pay for it? Well, if we're going to pay for it in the price of continuous accelerated consumption of the $300-400 million a year, if government is going to have to subsidize in that respect,
but see, Alan, you know, you want me read? Let me read something for you, and then you tell me what you hear it saying. This is the Electricity Act of the Bahamas. Listen to the Electricity Act, Article 21. Says all charges made by the corporation for electricity sold by them in bulk or direct to consumers and for the services rendered by the corporation shall be fixed at such rates and on such scales that the revenue derived in any year by the corporation from such sales and services, together with their revenue, if any, in such year from other sources, will be sufficient and only sufficient as nearly might be to pay all remunerations, superannuations, allowances, and gratuities, blah, 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 blah. Man, the electricity charges supposed to cover the cost of operating the power, the corporation. And if the government subsidizes it, let's understand the same thing as me being charged by BPL, because the subsidies come from taxes.
Yes. Absolutely. And this is where the evolution is, because we're paying from the subsidy from taxes, and then we're then being taxed, even when you go for greater consumption. So it actually begins eroding at the what they call a rotation within the community. And so the problem is that even for the argument I hear about the Wasilla engine, for me, doesn't make sense. Like, here's why, because we know that at any given time, and I think you state this in the show, is that all 7 engines is never run. So why are we having conversation about this thing that happens, the rattling or falling, founding or whatever falls down, if you run all 7 engines? So the question then becomes, is that we've reached a certain capacity in previous years since Wasilla engine, and we didn't have these falling downs or anything. What has changed now? Are we now running 6 engines rather than 5? And then if we have to now run 6 engines, then where is the loss of capacity in respect to that? And so what I'm simply saying is, this is just seemed to me is intellectual manure that is somehow hiding a greater problem with BPL that's exasperated by the fact of the government's failure to actually do the hedging, which would have provided some form of relief in respect to that.
Yeah.
Here's just saying one more point. Fuel prices have also been variation on the market, even falling in some capacity. I'm somewhat concerned that the government could almost predict for the next 18 months a fixed increase. So did they enter contractual basis that has already locked in the price for the next 18 months, that in spite of fuel go to $1, we won't see any difference because they're already contractually obligated? There's a whole lot of questions that BPL, every time someone in the government speaks or someone, only adds to the additional question because of the web they're trying to weave. And we cannot grow an economy in the 21st century unless we solve our energy problem. That's front and center. It's passed on in every bill.
I appreciate it, man.
Okay? Thank you so much.
As I said, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. This text says, I didn't need them to tell me the demand increased. A new hotel was fully opened on Cable Beach. The new bigger port was opened and the new embassy already demanding more power. 100 new houses were built and occupied and families need the power. I didn't have to go to college to figure out they need more generators. Incrementally, I hope and pray next year is better. Personally, Mr. Sayers needs another ministry. Well, here's the thing. You don't need them to tell you they need more power. You could logically assume that that is the case. But I am saying that in an intelligent society, what would be useful is tell me, last year my demand was X. This year I expect the demand to be this, and because of this, I pointed out, and that's it. So I actually have numbers. I want to see numbers because it helps me to figure out, okay, so you needed 5% more power this year than last year. See, because then somebody could come back to me, tell me they spend money on 30-40% increased generation when in fact they only needed to provide for 5% or even 10% to give some leeway for other things. No. Give me some numbers. That tells me that you are on your game. That tells me that you are paying attention. See, the public, I expect to say what you said. Well, I could see this, I could see that. That's the public. But you are in the industry. You are in the company. You are in the business. I expect to see numbers. You can imagine these CEOs of these major corporations walking up to the investors and saying, well, you know, I expect customers to come buy more next year. So I can spend, I expect to make some more investment in infrastructure this year. No, they don't do it that way. They need to do more. Let's have some numbers. Our numbers are important. You're right. The numbers are important. This text says, good day, Lang. It's cheaper to sell BPL like BTC. It saves the blame in public. I ain't getting in that argument today, man. I budget in my arguments today. This text is one question, Mr. Lang. I'm trying to figure out how Anton always seemed to know things that the general public is never aware of. Well, nothing Anton quoted was something the general public could not be aware of. What you have to ask is whether, in fact, and what Anton quoted was, in fact, what was said, because he's saying what the sources of it, and so you could check yourself, or, you know, if he gives us a view on something, or he says something, you just have to check it, but he didn't say anything that couldn't be known by the general public. So does he not see the error in that? Maybe he needs to advocate for more transparency from the party / government, just saying. Yeah, but as I said before, he didn't seem to be saying anything that the general public could not be aware of. So please, how hedging would solve this problem we were having for decades? So I live the same place for the last 25 years, and this year is no different. Problem is your government that you were a part of, and this present government need to stop playing politics with BPL. None of y'all got it right explained. Well, that's your view. You're entitled to it. And I think to some degree you are right, and I think to some degree you're just absolutely wrong. Okay? And you all like to say stuff like that. Your government doesn't, because you are making this claim. What didn't the government I was a part of get right with BPL? And what didn't the government that this government didn't get right? Tell me. See, you all, let me tell you all something. You are dealing with people who are thinking. So you can't just make claims to me
like you're somebody off the street just spitting out criticism like that. Life don't work like that. Because all I'm asking you to do is go back to BPL's financial statements and see whether BPL was losing money prior to 2003. BEC, secondly, right? BPL's load shedding has been a chronic issue for sure, and largely because the kind of planning required to have BPL's infrastructure in place to meet demand was there. If you want to call that a failure, you're absolutely right. That was a failure and what have you. But you can't get away with this very shallow comment about, all of y'all fail in this regard, because people can say the same thing with us in our personal lives. Because we've had persistent perennial problems with certain things, and people say, well, you failed in that regard, right? So don't just tell me, y'all all failed. Tell me what failed in the same place. You had load shedding last year, and the year before that, you've been living in the same place. Did you have load shedding like this last year? Yeah, I assure you, say, yeah, right. Come on, man. Come on. Y'all need to stop. At least some of y'all, stop. I asked Antoine. Antoine is a very strong supporter of the Progressive Liberal Party. And I asked Antoine, did you have load shedding like this last year? Like you have missed this year? Antoine said, no. He said, but I can explain that. You live the same place, and you're telling me you experienced this last year? Where you live? We have a call on the line. Go ahead, call. We're listening to you.
Hey, good afternoon, Chicago.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm calling in reference to the text or question where they were saying about the government that you was a part of and the now government playing around with.
When you hear that means they are arguments. That's when you hear that. But okay, go ahead, ma'am.
I wanted you to ask them a question for me. Which government in which country around the world gets it all right or gets it mostly right? I would really like to know, because it amazes me that persons in this country that travel, and I know some don't, that would say such things, because I don't know no government get it right. They try. From government to government, from person to person, even the president and so on and so forth. But in every country in the world, you have problems. So come on now. You know, we are still a very...
But not only that, what I'm asking him is, or whoever this is, because they love to say what you get wrong, but what is it that you're saying got wrong? What was wrong? What, like load shedding is wrong? Okay, so to your point, ma'am, let me tell you all the major countries that have load shedding. If you go on elumenergy.com webpage, they have countries in Burgundy that load shedding. Alaska, United States of America, all kind of countries in Africa, China, India, Australia, Canada.
Okay, because I know that this is something that I've seen happen around the world from time to time and from country to country. So I don't see why it makes us no different. We are yet, and like I always say when I say it, we are a very young, small country. Come on. We are allowed to house growing teens.
But even so, the discussion I am having today is not even about the load shedding as a problem. We are having a discussion about the explanations we keep getting for stuff.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? That's different. But where this person is in a different time zone, in a different space. We're talking about how the people responsible for leading our entities, governing our country, the explanations they're giving, the explanations line up. That's a different discussion altogether. This is not a discussion about who get it right and who didn't get it right, because we could have that argument all day long. And especially if you don't get in the fray, you could have that argument all day long. You're sitting there chewing up your mutton
doing your personal life, and but you could blame all other people who may have been involved.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate you calling. See, I could care less what you all call it. It were having the same power problems. No. So, you finish. You're done. You're done. You don't have an argument. You don't have a case. You couldn't care less what you all call it. We don't care less what you call it. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it, at a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time. I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF Margin Loan at rfgroup.com.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together, and we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Okay, school bag, books, uniform, oh Lord, and I gotta buy snacks too? Just lay it
on the line. The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever Back to School Snackathon.
What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points, or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back to Z Live, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lang, I was surprised to see how many countries deal with load shedding. It has to be a conspiracy that providing adequate power remains a challenge. How else can one explain countries falling down on such a necessity? Monies wasted by these countries can easily solve the problem. It's a conspiracy. Wow. And what does the conspiracy achieve, you think? What does a company that gets paid monies to provide power, and therefore if they do it effectively, they can make profits in doing so. How do they benefit from not doing that? You know the power companies in the US are privately owned, right? Like, how does it help them to have customers complain about interruptions in their power? That's like saying the food store deliberately runs out of food to achieve what?
customers? I don't understand that. Let me ask you another question. How many months in the year do you experience load shedding by BPL? Last year was, I don't even know if it was a month. But can somebody text me and tell me how many, even now, in the whole 12 months of the year, how many months do you get? Somebody tell me, please. This text is, Mr. Lang, I agree with the text. All parties have failed in equipping BPL with proper equipment. There is no excuse for shortfall in the production of energy. That statement there is absolutely false. Absolutely false. That all parties have failed in equipping BPL with proper equipment? Are you serious? So you just texted me on a cell phone that had to be charged, and therefore you had to use electricity to do so. Presumably you use BPL if you live in Nassau. Well, how you get that electricity? Because they had improper equipment? You have millions of tourists who come to this country, a whole airport that operates, that gets airplanes to land and take off safely, that require power in order to do so. You're telling me they do that with improper equipment by BPL? The hotels operate with improper equipment by BPL? The traffic lights that so many of us run, you're telling me that they are run with power that has improper equipment? Please, I did tell you before, stop texting me nonsense, because you are going to get checked. But you wanted to say to me, all administrations have failed in providing BPL with timely, adequate infrastructure to meet its increasing demand in a timely way. Okay, that's different. But you see, you won't be careful. You just want to shoot off your mouth and say anything that comes to your mind and expect not to be challenged. Not on Z Live. Not on this show. You're not going to be permitted to do that. When you write or text us, you are going to think more when you do so. Because that statement right there is demonstrably false by the very thing that you texted. This text is, Pat, for years with so-called leaders, and nothing has changed with the BPL situation. Nothing has changed with the BPL situation. Say, stop making excuses and get it done. They got more money for a Duke to Princess, but can't invest in their own backyard. Okay. So good afternoon, Mr. Lyon, former DPM and Minister of Works, Desmond Banasa, has an interesting documentary in today's Tribune. I read it. Business section under the caption, Disgraceful Failure to Improve BPL. If his account is accurate, then the present CEO of BPL needed to resign forthwith. He was intimately involved in the process being discussed throughout the pandemic. There was no load shedding. That is true, actually, that the present CEO used to be at IRCA, had a very strategic responsibility for overseeing things at BPL in terms of their compliance with the regulations and all that kind of stuff. But that's also, this text also raises another point. Donovan Moxie, the former chairman of BPL, Daniel Osborne, also, to my mind, they were not political hacks. They were not. They were people who really had an interest in the improvement of BPL. They both were. And they were both interested in strategic planning, and in fact, generated and created a strategic plan for BPL. At least I know the extent to which Donovan Moxie did. And I can speak to that because in a doctoral program, I actually wrote a paper on BPL's strategic planning process, and on BPL. Right? And so the question is, I mean, like, you're going back to look at the construction process for the power station. How would you look at the planning that was done, the strategic planning? That makes sense? Did none of that have any value that could be built upon? None of it? Is it being built upon? Is it being even looked at? Anything? I mean, we keep hearing about what is wrong, what went wrong by both sides. But I'm talking not about what Minnis did or Desmond Bannister did. How about what that board did? How about that strategic plan? What's happening with that? Right? Nothing. Some things, we don't know. Nobody's saying. I can tell you one thing. If you go on BPL's website, all those flowery words about the website, they were there for a long time. They were the wonderful stuff about BPL. Listen to me. If you go on BPL's website, it'll tell you about that power station, right? It'll tell you about that stuff. And it'll tell you good words about the thing, right? Does none of that matter? Is none of that true? Where did that stuff come from? See, I don't get this argument about, those of you who gave up on the Bahamas, you need to stop texting these shows and calling these shows. What do I mean give up? When you start talking about all of these one fail and the next one fail, with that kind of broad, inaccurate language, you give up on the Bahamas. Because if everybody failed you, the only alternative is you. So when your party come in, when are you leading the way to go fix the problem? You come and then making a statement like, just fix the problem. Well, what do you expect that to do? Just fix the problem? Come on, man. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. BPL is not what it was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. My God, man, you just said nobody's done anything. And the people have invested almost $100 million in brand new generators, man. The generators that are working right now, there are even private providers providing generation capacity for BPL that wasn't providing generation capacity for BPL 20 years ago. And you're telling, you said BPL ain't nothing changed. Really? At one point, the Deputy Prime Minister's administration, Mr. Barry Christian Doors, had a foreign private manager for Bahamas Power Light. That's how it became Bahamas Power Light, switched from Bahamas Electricity Corporation, or you forgot that. Nothing changed? Yeah, there's something else. Don't just be sleeping when you're talking. Find why you're still picking on Anton. This text is, Mr. Lang, if the building the same size it was 20 to 30 years ago, it means no one had vision for expansion. The generators we rent are placed outside. There was no vision. So that's nonsense, brother. That's nonsense. Do you know that there are airplanes in the air still flying that have been in the air for 20, 30 years? They overhaul the engine. Cars, same thing. There are buildings that are older than 40 years. What are you talking about? Where do you live? How long have we been meeting in the Parliament building? That same Parliament building? How old is that Parliament building? What are you talking about? How long has the ZMS been in the building it's in? What are you talking about? Come on, man. Come on. The question isn't a question of how old the building is. The question is whether the building was in fact fit for use. And if it was fit for use, then you use it. People don't walk around going, oh, it's 30 years old, throw the building down. That's nonsense. You know how old some hotels are? We have buildings in the world older than 100 years and still in use. I I'm saying it isn't big enough to add more engines inside, but ain't nobody trying to add no more engines inside. So what's the point? There's 7 engines in there. Where you see somebody's trying to add more engines inside, you get new engines, you build a new building. You heard somebody say they have new engines to buy? They installing new engines? Boy, ladies and gentlemen, listening to Z-Live, I'm Shabar Golang, your host. We're going to take our final break. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Whopper Wednesday every Kinasa. Make your Wednesday sizzle and sink your teeth into a flame-grilled beef patty topped with tomatoes, fresh-cut lettuce, mayo, pickles, ketchup, and sliced onions, all on a toasted sesame seed bun with fries for only $5.95, including VAT. This Whopper Wednesday, grab a friend and head down to your favorite BK Nasa location for a flame-grilled Whopper made your way with crisp fries for only $5.95. Burger King Nasa, where taste is king.
Tired of paying too many bills and loan payments each month?
Shrink your monthly debt payments down to one easy payment with our debt consolidation loan.
It also has a built-in savings that pays you 5% interest.
Inquire about our debt consolidation loans today.
Call 356-7764.
Are you ready to win your ship $8,000 in cash when you capture the spirit of the Bahamas with your camera? Scotiabank, in partnership with the Guardian Media Group, amateur and professional photographers to enter the Celebrate Bahamas 50 Photography Competition. Visit guardiantalkradio.com or bs.scotiabank.com to find out how to enter. Snap those photos and send them in by Friday, August 31st. Let's celebrate our proud nation in photos and win your share $8,000 in cash. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to these remaining moments of the show. I'm Shabab, I'm your host. This is Z-Live. Man, my friend keep texting. You need to stop texting, man. Seriously. They said, that is my point. Build a new building that can house all the new generators. They said, hold all of the generators. That is not true. No one ever said that. All the generators are in the building. What are you listening to? All the generators are in the building. What they said was they can't run all the generators the same time in the building. Right? They didn't say that the building couldn't hold all the generators. They put all the generators in the building. I have the video. Right? Aggie. So before we end the show, I wanted to mention something. Some folks asked me, they asked me about whether or not I thought that the member of parliament for North Abaco should resign in light of being charged as he was. And I was asked the same question when Adrian Gibson charged. And my answer was the same. Like, first of all, if you're innocent until proven guilty, and if you say that you're innocent, why would you resign to put in plenty of people's minds that you think you're guilty and hurt your own case? So I didn't expect anyone would do that. Secondly, This is the most fundamental and profound point. one of the most difficult things to do in your country should be to get rid of, remove a member of parliament. Do you know that if a member of parliament is on his way to parliament, the parliament is meeting, and he's on his way to parliament, he cannot be arrested? You cannot interfere with him. You cannot stop him. That's against the law. Why is it that the Constitution has minimal standards, minimum requirements for becoming a member of parliament, and minimal requirements for disqualifying as a member of parliament? Why do you think that is? Because a person who is a member of parliament is an expression of the will of the people. And the people are the sovereign power. It may not feel like it, but that is the fact. The people are the sovereign power, because in the end, all the other powers are granted by the people, even if only at intervals during elections. And so one of the fundamental tenets of democracy, sound democracy, is not to frustrate the will of the people. If the people voted for somebody, you could think the person is the stupidest person in the world. You could think that the person is the greatest person in the world. You could think the person is irrelevant. If the people have expressed their will and elected that person, other than the constitutional provisions that exist, nothing should be able to thwart the will of those people. Now, let me tell you what some people miss. Let's suppose that you think every time you get charged with a crime that you should resign. If I'm the government and you're the opposition, and you're the opposition leader, and I know all people say, if you get convicted of a charge, not if you get charged with something, not convicted, if you get charged, that means that you'll resign. Well, let me get rid of this, leave the opposition. And you say, oh, but honorable people wouldn't trump up charges on nobody and get the police to go proceed and charge them. No, honorable people, but everybody who in an honorable office ain't honorable. And so people can take liberty, trump up charges on you, no pun intended, and cause issues for the opposition. Now, this could work both ways, either side. That is why even your constitution says, you know, your constitution says if you've been convicted of a charge, but you have been sentenced for more than 12 months, you could still hold your office. You could still qualify to be elected. Still, why? You cannot and do not want to defy the will of people. If people want you in office, that's what they want. And who is you to corrupt the process so that a person cannot be in office? In this instance, you can't say that because the government is the Progressive Liberal Party and the member of parliament is a Progressive Liberal Party member of parliament. But you could have said something like that in the former administration. You could say, well, maybe they're just doing like that. But in none of them were sitting MPs. Not to my recollection. I think this is the first time in our history that we would have at the same sitting members of parliament under charge before the courts. So it ought not to be so simple, and people ought not willy-nilly on basis of having been charged with a crime to resign their office. Not willy-nilly. Now, if their legal process makes it impossible for them to do their job, then they may have to consider that, because you can't frustrate the will of the people, but you certainly shouldn't frustrate the representation of the people by a process that impedes that. But that's a judgment call. That's a judgment call. That's not a mandatory scenario for somebody. This text is from Mr. Lang. After the new government took off over, I thought there was one thing they should not touch, and that was BPL. I think they were doing a good job. So the rest is history. Okay? It says, Mike, I need an answer from you in reference to BPL. Which one will you call severe? One of them are severe. Bribery rate, all are severe, you know. It is always severe for lawmakers to breach the law. Right? So I don't, you know, and maybe they will come with different sentences if convicted, but all are significant. All are significant. And even if the charges are different, the principle remains the same, that you know, people aren't going to frustrate their own cases by making themselves appear to be guilty. And then secondly, you know, you want to be careful about that simply being charged with something warrants resignation, because that kind of thinking defies the very basic principle in our judicial system that says that a person is innocent until proven guilty. And then it defies the tenet of democracy, sound democracy, that, you know, you shouldn't do things that frustrate the will of the people. And if the people want a person to represent them, you should not, in any corrupt process, or allow for any corrupt process that would frustrate that will of people. That says nothing about what is the actual truth about a case. Who knows, right? That's what the legal process is for. That's what the judicial process is for, to determine to the extent possible what in fact happened. But to the question that was put to me about, you know, the resignation, that would be the answer that I give. And again, I say, as a citizen, sometimes you don't feel like the power, your power is sovereign. And that is because your individual power is not sovereign. This is very hard for, it seems, for people to get. People say, oh, it's my money. It's my, these things the government do, they buy them. They are not your own. They are not your, as in your individual personal self own, not at all. They are corporately yours. And so only to the extent that you own them together with others, and only to the extent that you rope the others in that ownership, you can personally direct anything in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that's public. Nothing. Nothing. That's what I stand. Oh, it's my land. Yeah, your land, only to the extent that is yours and every 399,999 other Bahamians, including the little baby, can't talk for itself. That's whose it is. Not yours personally, not yours individually. Just how you see people can't, like, people are families of generation land, they call it, or commonage land, and they can't individually do anything with that land without the collective being able to weigh in and say so. It was the same thing with the country. You ain't personally own nothing in this country that's called the public property. Nothing. So don't run around telling people, oh, look, the Prime Minister riding in my car. No, he ain't riding in your car. He's riding in our car. And that our includes every citizen of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, including the ones you all swear in and made citizens. It's including them. Whether you like them or don't like them, it belongs to every PLP and FNM and DNA and COI and AI, and it belongs to all of them. They're Bahamians. Not you individually. Don't talk about, oh, look how they're spending my money. You ain't got no money in the government of the Bahamas. We, the collective, have money in the government of the Bahamas. And until you get and understand that, you may continue to make misleading statements about the ownership of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and you may deprive yourself of the strategy you need to get things done, because that strategy means that you have to bring the corporate Bahamas into the fray, and it's the corporate Bahamas that can make it happen and get it done. See, I like that. He ain't driving around your car, he's driving around in our car. That's true. That's what it is. We got to get it right. Right? And that's an important concept. And that's why, if you understand, you will understand why it's important to rope people in, rope them into your efforts to change things and the policies and stuff in the Bahamas. You just because when you keep running around talking about what they're doing, but my resources, my not, you ain't got no natural resources. them little bitty baby can't say a word. That's their natural resources too. That person's laying down in the hospital at Bahamian, in the hospital, who may be incapable of moving or saying anything, that's theirs too. Yeah, and that's how we have to see it. So when you see the people express their will, you don't want to support the frustration of that will. Not in any way. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago, I'm your host. So glad that you could join us here today. God bless you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. He spares live.
Come take my hand, we'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is brought to you by AML Foods Limited, Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, Janae's Uniform Center, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.